Cisco.
You're about to experience the evolution of action motorsports coverage. The motorsports you care about. Cutting edge, high impact, no filler. This is the Down and Dirty Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. And here is the man bringing it all to you, Jimmy Beaver.
Welcome to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and it's all about the interviews today. You know, we didn't have much happening in the world of action motorsports, so got a bunch of interviews lined up today. Kicking us off, we're going to have Ryan Turk, Formula Drift veteran, Hoonigan, the star of the online reality series, Turked. He's going to be calling in here in a few minutes. We're going to have Courtney McCray of Poison Spider Customs. She's going to be on air telling us about the search for the next Spider Girl. We're going to have Chris Leone from the Global Rallycross Championship calling in, giving us a Charlotte preview and some of the behind-the-scenes storylines and insider information that he's got. And then we've got Denise McMahon from the Bilstein Southwest Rally Series. She's going to be calling in, giving us a little update on the extreme rally that's happening this upcoming weekend that's kind of merging off-road rally together in a hybrid type event. Should be really, really cool out here in Arizona. So we got tons of stuff to talk about today. Lots of great I'm looking forward to the show, let me tell you. It's not every day we get four great guests on air and get to talk about things. Most of you, I'm sure, nursing NFL hangovers from the weekend. We had, NFL season kicking off, and I know I was in front of my computer all weekend doing the fantasy football thing. But let's skip over here to Ryan Turk and see if we can pick him up. How's everything going, Ryan?
What's going on, Jim? Everything's good.
Well, I know you've been a busy guy lately. Obviously, we've got the new season of Turked out. How's that been going? I know you and Vaughn went head-to-head in a game of drift earlier this year, and looks like you came out on top in that.
Yeah, just by the skin of my teeth, me and Vaughn fought to the death of each one of those games that we played, and it was kind of a tit-for-tat battle where I won a first few, he won the next few, and then it all came down to the last one to take it. And I only took it by inches, literally.
Yeah, it was a pretty good battle. I mean, how do you guys come up? I know this last time you threw it out there to a lot of the fans, right, to help decide what you guys were going to compete at.
Yeah, exactly. We like to rely on the fans and keep them involved to see what they want to see as well on each of the episodes. And so it's really cool. A lot of people have some really off-the-wall stuff, but we can take those ideas and then just build off of them and kind of take them and make them so they're actually doable.
Well, and with the with something like Turk that's become this huge online series. I mean, I know I look forward to every time you drop a new episode. I mean, has it been something like hard season two now to keep up in the game with these episodes and coming up with new stuff to do for them?
It's been a very busy year. We kind of sat down with the creative team and we kind of hashed out each episode that we wanted to do, but we still. A lot of it is still kind of fly by the seat of your pants and just go and have a loose plan and see what we can do and what kind of opportunities kind of arise and just take advantage of it. Like when I got an opportunity through Max's Tires and Chap Speed over in the UK to come over there and compete in one of the British Drift Championship rounds. So we did that, and then we just kind of decided to piggyback off of that trip and film a Turked episode and see what else we could find while being in the UK. And we got an opportunity to go visit a really cool group of guys called Garage, I won't say the swear word, F House. And they're up in Scotland, and they actually have this really cool facility that just opened up September 1st called Thriftland. And we caught wind of that place, so we bought tickets pretty much the night before. We decided to pull the trigger and head up there, and we went up there and filmed some really, really, really good footage of us just thrashing some missile cars and just having a blast with that crew of that drift crew.
Well, and I know you just got back, a couple weeks ago, weren't you in Utah filming with Ken? And looks like you guys did some off the wall stuff while you're up there.
Yeah, we had an absolute blast out visiting Ken and the Hoonigan crew. It was it was just a good time. It was like we just came off the Europe trip and we flew literally straight from London to Utah to film another trip, just because we have this long month off in between rounds performing the Deep. So it was I don't know. It's been a really good kind of month off, and we've been able to get a lot of good footage through this time. So it's like the videos are a very short turnaround time, so everybody gets to see kind of what we've been doing the last few weeks. So it's kind of good to be able to get that stuff out and still have it be relevant on my Instagram and everything else.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the Formula D season this year. I mean, obviously, you know, I know going into this year you had, you know, some changes with the car. How's that been?
Yeah, the car's been getting better. I think the chassis itself and everything is about 90% there. It's just been this last 10% of development that has really been kind of biting us in the butt, and it's just we're getting there. It's just I don't have a ton of time in my schedule to allow me to go test the car and kind of get up on all that. So it's just been been a little bit of a trying year, but every time I drive that car, the car is better. I feel more comfortable in it, and it's just one of these days we're going to get that thing on the podium, and it's going to be a good day.
Well, and it's crazy. I mean, you know, just this year, I mean, you know, the past couple of years, it seems like the technology, you know, in these cars is just really, you know, you've been around and, you know, in drifting for a long time. I mean, it seems like, I mean, now it's just crazy, the engineering that's going into these drift cars.
Yeah, everybody's pretty on point and on top of how to actually make the cars drift pretty quickly and have all that kind of have that sidewall grip and on throttle grip, and it's just it makes it a little bit more difficult coming in with the new chassis and trying to develop it and be on point, you know, your first few rounds, and while still trying to make the car that good and competing with guys that have been in the same chassis for quite a while that have everything dialed.
Well, let's go back to the start. I mean, you know, we've all heard, you know, stories and stuff like that. I mean, you know, and how people get involved in motorsports and stuff like that. I mean, what's your story? I mean, how did you get involved in drifting?
I got involved in drifting when, I don't know, it was back in early 2000s. We're racing, me and my brothers grew up racing motocross, and we're kind of getting burnt out and wanted to try something new, had always loved cars, and as soon as we turned 16 and got our licenses, we were, kind of just more and more infatuated with cars. So we were 19, 20, we decided to stop racing, and I literally just dropped one thing and picked up another, and that was drifting. So I actually me and my brother pulled our money together, and we bought a old Fox Body Mustang, and we would go out at night and just empty parking lots or wherever we could find to go screw around and just practice car control, because at that point we didn't know that drifting was an actual sport. We just knew that we wanted to try something new, and that was car control. So later on that summer, we found out that drifting was an actual sport from downloading videos on the internet and watching all the Japanese D1 stuff, and that it's kind of the right place at the right time, because at that point I had finding out what drifting was. It had just come over to the U.S. and they had, you know, started having events, and there were some local events going on down in New Jersey that we found out about. So I started hitting those up and sold the Mustang, got a Nissan 240SX, and started putting all my money into that just to modify it with, you know, some basic mods like coilover, LSD, and just spending the rest of my money on tires and event fees. So that's kind of how it all started for me, and my skills progressed as the sport itself progressed in the U.S. into a professional series. I was right there to kind of be one of the, I guess, you know, first or original guys to kind of start with the series.
Well, you know, and that's what I find really cool about, you know, about Formula Drift, and especially here in the States. I mean, guys like you and Vaughn and Forsberg, and, you know, we'll even throw DeAnda in there because he's been announcing from the start. But, you know, you guys were here at the beginning, and, you know, and you've kind of stuck together. And, you know, I know you guys are, you know, competitors on track, but, you know, off of it, you're all good friends. And to me, it's just kind of cool that you guys have grown as the sport's grown and you know, and still been with it and never wavered.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, having – the Drift Alliance guys, being able to meet up with them and kind of start like a really good relationship together. Those are the guys who kind of paved the way for me, as they were a little bit ahead of where I was at the time. And they're the ones who really got me into a full season of Formula D back in 2006, where I was able to actually make it work and have a decent car and some sponsors to help me out. And that was kind of the beginning of everything for me as far as my professional career.
Well, and I mean, you know, what do you think? You know, obviously now you're one of the veterans. I mean, now you've got these young guns coming up and trying to make a name for themselves in Formula D. And you know what? You know, how do you feel about this? You know, this young group of talent that's coming into the series.
It's weird for me because I've always been the young guy, kind of in the sport, and are always looked at as like the younger guy or whatever. So hearing that I'm like a veteran is still an odd thing for me to listen to. But I think all the young kids coming in, I mean, there's definitely a lot of talent that's starting to enter into Formula D, and people are just starting to figure it out and really progress those skills. And I don't know, I think it's good. I mean, we have there's a lot of local events that are supporting everything, and just kids that are able to just go out and do their thing and just progress their skills and get ready for Formula D. So, I mean... It's tough in Formula D because you don't get a ton of track time, so you really got to come there and be on point no matter what. So a lot for the rookie kids coming in, it's really difficult just because most of the time it's been their first time on that track, and without being able to get that amount of practice time, and it's kind of hard to dial it in. But we are, I mean, you know, you're seeing a lot of guys like Nate Hamilton and Pat Gooden. Pat Gooden's in his second season now. And they're absolutely killing it. Like Pat Gooden is going to be, I think, is going to be one of the, has like a bright future ahead of him, and is one of the really good up and comers that is going to start making waves in the next couple of years.
Well, and I know, you know, obviously you've been doing the Formula Drift thing for quite some time. I know, you know, obviously you were out at GRC New Hampshire. It's in your backyard. And, you know, I know you were out, you kind of had some fun with Ken sitting in his car. You know, any chance, you know, you'd like to go and try the GRC thing or try some other motorsport if the door opened?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm literally down to get into any kind of vehicle and race it, drive it, thrash it, whatever. And Rallycross obviously being number one on my list. I don't know. I think it's just a perfect crossover from what I'm used to with growing up racing motocross and then going on into, you know, the best kind of car control that you can learn, which is drifting. And I think just that mix would make, I mean, Rallycross is a little bit of both of those things, I feel like, with some jumps and some drifting, but obviously with all wheel drive. So it speaks to me very loudly, and it's something that I want to get into very badly.
Well, and, you know, I got to ask you too. I know you're big, you know, into riding bikes, and you hit up skate parks, you know, in the off season. And when you get a chance, I ask because I'm the same way. I go and, you know, shred the skate park when I get a chance. But yeah, how often are you on a bike anymore?
I try to actually with filming for Turk. I still get to ride my bike quite often because we usually go out and just try to get some shots. I'm nothing special. I'm not a park or a street guy. I grew up riding kind of dirt jumps on BMX bikes, but I like just going out with some friends and, you know, just doing the thing, just going out and riding and catching some decent shots and just finding new spots to go ride, which is always really, really cool.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
Yeah, so let's go back to Formula D. I mean, obviously we've got Texas coming up. You know, what should we expect last two rounds of Formula D?
I don't know. Hopefully, I mean, I'm feeling better and better in that car, so I'm really hoping to turn my tandem skills on and drive the way I know how to and put that thing on the podium. So I'm really hoping to finish the season off strong, get back in the top 10 in points, and you know, finish off the season well.
Well, and you think, you know, from this year, what you've learned with this car and stuff, I mean, heading into next year, you definitely, you know, got a car that you can, you know, make a run for the championship with?
Yeah, absolutely. I think during the off season, we're going to be able to get plenty of test time done and really get that car to 110% to where it needs to be into competition mode so that we can come out of the door next season just swinging and know exactly what our setup's going to be for each track, and as well as me just being 100% comfortable in that car and be able to drive it like one of my 240s.
Well, and, you know, with all these, you know, with all these courses that are, you know, on the drift schedule and obviously, you know, that some of the events have come and gone, you know, what's your favorite course that Formula D's had in the past 10 years?
My favorite track since day one has been Atlanta. I love that track, just the elevation changes to it. It's one of the longer ones that we get to do, and coming down that hill on that long straightaway is, and then just then I'm dumping as much angle as you can into that first turn is an absolute blast to me. So that was actually the first Formula D round that I've ever done as well, and I've always just loved that place from the beginning.
Well, and it made it interesting. You guys had some rain there this year, right? Made it pretty quick.
Yeah, this year, man, it was really odd because the rain came down. It was a real southern-style kind of storm, and it rained like crazy. Then it dried up, and then it drizzled, and then there was like some new pavement out there, so it was just like this light. It started misting right when me and JTP were going out, so the track was just as slick as ice. As soon as you entered, you literally had no grip at all. It was just pretty much you were along for the ride and just hoping for the best.
Well, I know watching the video, I mean, it was just looked crazy. I mean, it was just, I almost felt bad for you guys because, like you said, it was like being on an ice rink.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that was probably one of the most difficult conditions that I've ever had to drift in, and it was. It was a bit of a handful. Just making it around the track with a couple mistakes was like good enough, and it was really tough to not spin out around that place.
For sure. Well, you know, I appreciate you taking the time to come on air today. Good luck in Texas, and when's the next round of Turk dropping online?
So the next episode of Turk will be next Tuesday, but tomorrow you'll be able to check out my new GoPro burnout response video from the slide ride video that came out the week prior. And the next video is going to be really good, so I hope everybody checks it out, enjoys it, and leave some comments on the page that I can respond to.
For sure, yeah. And where can everybody take a look at you on social media at?
You can hit me up on facebook.com/RyanTurk and instagram.com/RyanTurk. No spaces.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot for coming on, buddy, and good luck at Texas. You know, hopefully you can get a couple podiums out of these last two rounds.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jim, for having me, man.
All right. Take it easy. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
All right. Bye. All right, that was Ryan Turk, Formula D veteran, just all-around tire-slaying badass. It was great having him on air. They're going into Texas here this weekend for another round, and then they've got Irwindale to round out the year. So, Irwindale, the House of Drift, that's the big one. That's the Super Bowl for drift here in the United States. So looking forward to those rounds. And speaking of Formula D, we had some big news hit in the past week. Obviously, we've got Texas coming up, and as we head into Texas, last week, literally after we went off air, I was online and got hit with an email, and Von Gittin Jr. was penalized from Formula Drift. It was the largest penalty in Formula Drift history. It was a technical type penalty. It wasn't, you know, for on-track action or something like that. You know, it was, and Vaughn, I would, you know, he's a friend of mine, and, and this penalty, I'm not going to criticize Formula Drift, but his upper link in the rear of his Mustang, that gives traction in the rear, there was a 9 millimeter difference, which, you know, we're talking less than a centimeter, not a whole lot difference in I guess the mount for his upper link. And based on Formula Drift rules, it has to be stock placement, stock, you know, mount, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, Formula Drift issued this penalty, which amounted to $5,000 and a 30-point penalty against Vaughn, which, to be honest with you, the money isn't that big of a deal, but a 30-point penalty, I mean, Vaughn was right, I mean, right in the thick of things in Formula D this year, you know, making a run for, you know, for the championship, and basically that penalty dropped him to sixth in the championship, 51 points out of first with two rounds to go. It really hurts his chances of, you know, of not only a top three, but a win. You know, he was fighting with Forsberg for the win. So now Forsberg has, you know, a commanding, well, I wouldn't say commanding, but Forsberg's got the lead. We've got Essa in second and Daigo Sato in third. We've only got 3 points separating first through third. So that penalty to Vaughn definitely, you know, definitely hurts him. I'm sure, you know, my thought is we're going to see an appeal at some point. You know, by Vaughn, I think, you know, it's well within his rights. And from what Formula Drift said, they said, you know, Vaughn was, you know, they had to inspect his car, you know, go through all kinds of stuff. They said Vaughn had an open book. Hey, this is my car. Go check it out. You know, he didn't fight it at all. It sounds like, you know, Vaughn definitely took the high road in this. And, you know, Formula Drift even said that this, you know, this didn't give him a competitive advantage on track, which to me, if it didn't give him a competitive advantage on track, what's the big point in the penalty? You know, why is this the largest penalty in Formula Drift history? You know, 30 points and $5,000 if it didn't give him a competitive advantage on track. You know, warn him, dock him the money, but why dock him the points if it wasn't actually making him better and putting the other guys at a disadvantage? So I don't know. To me, with this whole ruling, there's it's a lot of gray area. You know, to me, it's definitely a lot of gray area with these announcements. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see where it goes. I mean, obviously, you know, Vaughn's going to be at Texas. Vaughn's going to be at Irwindale. And knowing Vaughn the way I know Vaughn, it's going to be game on. You know, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, which is going to be understandable when he goes out and wins these last two rounds. You know, that's just my thoughts, but it's definitely a big, you know, it's a it's a big announcement, you know, on the Formula Drift side of things. So, yeah, we're going into Texas this weekend. Should be awesome. Like we always say, Formula Drift streams everything live online, formulad.com. And if you miss it, they have a heck of a TV package. Set your DVR. I believe it's on NBC Sports, you know, and record it because, you know, they do a great job with their TV package. They break it down, you know, with the preliminary rounds, and then, you know, and then the final, I believe it's 8 or 16 or something like that. And got quite a few replays, so definitely set your DRs, check it out, and watch Texas live this weekend, live on the internet, formulad.com. So yeah, we're gonna cut to a short break here. When we come back, we're going to have Chris Leone from the Global Rallycross Championship. He's going to be calling in, and he's going to give us the lowdown on Charlotte. And don't forget, yeah, I will be in Charlotte. I'll be doing some announcing, and we'll have another round of GRC Live Radio with myself and Kate Osborne. So you're definitely going to want to tune into that, not this weekend, but the following weekend. But, yeah, we'll have Chris Leone when we come back from the break. Stay tuned to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy.
Global Rallycross is back in action September 22nd for Round 8 from the Dirt Track at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Ken Block, Tanner Faust, Travis Pastrana, Brian Deegan, and Series Points leader Tomas Häkkinen will be wheel-to-wheel battling for the $20,000 Sylvania Silver Star CXE Cup. Tickets start at just $10 for kids and $25 for adults and can be purchased online through charlottemotorspeedway.com. Be sure to tune in to ABC at 4:30 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, September 22nd to catch all the action live. And be sure to catch the official GRC pre-show online as Jim Beaver and Kate Osborne bring you GRC Live Radio with some of the biggest drivers in the sport. Global Rallycross, where motorsports and action sports collide. Visit global-rallycross.com. www.dirttrackfm.com for more information. Very few companies can call themselves an industry leader. Racetech Seats is one of the few. It doesn't matter if you race off-road, rally, touring cars, sprint cars, drag racing, or boats. Chances are, Racetech Seats have a seat that will keep you safe, secure, and comfortable, allowing you to concentrate on winning. Racetech Seats meet and exceed the FIA crash test standard, are Hans compatible, flame resistant, and offer full containment, meaning you can race knowing you are protected by the best. More information can be found at www.racetech-usa.com. That's www.racetech-usa.com. Racetech Seats. Our passion is keeping you safe. Imagine shredding the water on your wakeboard without a boat. Announcing Wakeboard Island at Bluewater Resort and Casino, where boarders can rip it up skate park style using a two-tower cable system providing a pull. At Wakeboard Island, there's no boats, no exhaust fumes, and inside the Bluewater Marina Complex, so no boat traffic for all skill levels from smooth water beginners to jumps and rails for the hardcore. Wakeboard Island, the coolest ride on the Parker Strip, adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina and coming soon to Bluewater Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver. We just got done with Ryan Turk on air. Great interview with Ryan and all things drift and Turt. Just a great guy. And you know, like he said, it's tough calling somebody a pioneer of drifting and the veteran, you know, because he's a young guy. It's like I look at myself and, you know, I don't consider myself a veteran. You know, I remember just a few years ago, I was the young kid competing, and, you know, and now I guess I am considered a veteran, so to speak. So kind of a weird dynamic there. You know, it's almost like a midlife crisis type of thing. But, yeah, anyways, we're going to get into a little bit of Global Rallycross talk with my good friend Chris Leone of the Global Rallycross Championship. How's everything going, Chris?
I'm doing well, Jim. How about you?
Oh, pretty good. Well, you know, obviously, you know, you finally had a little bit of a breather. You guys, you know, Global Rallycross, they hit their stride there, you know, in the summertime. And what was it, like five races in 6 weeks or something like that?
Yep, we had five race weekends, and including the Munich doubleheader, we had six races in total in 7 weeks. And, you know, it was a great stretch. You know, a lot of the teams were hitting their stride and definitely a big, big factor in deciding the championship.
Well, and, you know, in talking about teams hitting their stride, I think nobody hit their stride in that stretch more than Topi Häkkinen. You know, what do you think going into these last couple of rounds we're going to see out of Topi? I mean, you know, he's won, what, five in a row now? It's, you know, the guy's been on fire. You know, he's been able to avoid trouble. I mean, he's just been lightning fast. I mean, you know, what do you think we see out of Topi these last two rounds? Do you think he can win two more, or do you think one of these other guys is gonna knock him off the top of the box?
Well, you know, all good things must come to an end, and, you know, it's just the amount of luck that Topi has had over the past couple of months has been incredible, but it's Rallycross, and a lot of our guys just say that whenever they have any bad luck, that's Rallycross. And, you know, you have to think, just based on the odds, that the winning streak's got to end sometime. But given the way that Topi is driven, you know, he's going to make it difficult. He's been one of the fastest drivers, as you've said, in just about every single race. He's always qualifying up front. You know, he's able to win his heat. He's won 7 out of 9 heats this year. Only Ken Block has won that many heat races, so he always puts himself in position to be up front in the final, and that's really where you want to be.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's you know, this season is just, to me, it's been crazy. I mean, you start off, and, you know, we start off in Brazil, and Scott Speed, you know, came out of nowhere and, you know, and took a victory, and from there, it's just, to me, it's been crazy. It's been all, you know, it's been unpredictable.
Absolutely. I mean, some of the guys who have found their way up front, you know, you never would have predicted. You most likely wouldn't have predicted that the Mini was going to win its first time out with Liam in Munich. You definitely wouldn't have seen Scott Speed's victory coming. One of the things that's been the most interesting to me, though, is how well the 199 car, Pastrana Racing, has actually performed. You know, you wouldn't really expect it because they've been swapping drivers just about every race. But the amount of points that Travis has earned and the amount of points that Teamer have earned, we don't officially tabulate owner standings. We don't calculate them as a way to, you know, seed drivers if there's any reason we can't complete seeding or anything. But that car has earned 66 points. And if they just had one driver in that car, that would be the best car that isn't a Ford out there right now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, those cars, I mean, you know, when they developed them, I mean, you know, last year, it's, you know, I think, you know, I know it's, you know, it was a brand new platform. I mean, it was completely, you know, something new. And I think, you know, they've learned, and getting a veteran guy like Teamer to fill in for Travis when Travis isn't running, I mean, I think that's been a great move for him. I mean, that's not taking anything away from Bryce, but, you know, I think Bryce is still getting a feel for the world of rallycross, whereas Teamer, you know, he's been there, done that for quite some time.
Absolutely. And then you also had Henning Solberg in the car at Atlanta, which I'm sure certainly helped, given that he and Scooter, Ian Davies, the chief mechanic, had worked together in World Rally for so long. But what's great is that all of our teams seem to really have, you know, their stuff together with their cars. You know, Subaru is consistently contending for podium finishes now with Sverre Isaacson, and even Dave Mirra, you know, with the fourth place at Atlanta. And the Dodge is still a competitive car, as we've said, and everybody knows about how well Ford has done and, you know, how fast the Mini has been right out of the box.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Mini, I think that really shocked. One, I think it shocked a lot of people to hear that Liam wasn't going to be running the Citroen, but then two, you know, when they found out he was running a Mini, you know, he goes and right out of the box, he's lightning fast. I think, you know, that was two shockers.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the good thing about the Mini platform is obviously when you have some help from ProDrive behind the program, I mean, everybody is familiar with just how much ProDrive has accomplished in sports car racing, in Formula One, in just about any form of motorsports you can name. ProDrive has been on top of the box at some point. So, you know, when you really think about that program and given the talent that Liam has behind the wheel and given the caliber of ProDrive vehicles, you know, I guess it was a shock for them to win the first race, but it wasn't a shock to see them in you know, atop the podium.
Well, and, you know, talking about Subaru, you know, you'd mentioned him a few minutes ago. I mean, you know, they really, you know, this year, you know, they started off kind of slow and people kind of like, what's the matter with Subaru? But, you know, it seems like they really have hit their stride lately. And, you know, they're putting up some great results. And those cars, it seems like every weekend are getting faster and faster.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's great to really see those cars starting to run up front. Anybody who knows Sverre's background and all of the championships that he's won in Europe is familiar with how great of a driver he is. And obviously Dave has accomplished plenty, you know, on the American rally scene, and people are even starting to get a handle on just how good of a driver Bucky is. You know, all of these guys, it's unfortunate that some guys aren't getting the results that match their talent level, because we do have some incredibly, incredibly talented drivers in this series. You know, just about anybody, if you wanted to get in the car and ride along with them, it'd be an experience you'd never forget.
Well, and I think, you know, just the talent, you know, some of these guys that are coming into the series that, you know, until this year were relatively unknowns. I mean, Patrick Sandell, I mean, he's had an amazing run, you know, from my point of view in his first season in Global Rallycross.
Oh, absolutely. Patrick's been incredibly fast. You know, getting a podium right out of the gate in Brazil was huge for him. Getting a second place finish in New Hampshire. You know, Patrick has been one of the best additions that we've had to our series so far. And, you know, the other thing is what I remember from talking to him at our test at the very beginning of the season, I think Patrick's another hockey fan. So somebody for you and me to pal around with at the races, right?
Yeah, exactly. But, Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Charlotte. Obviously, teams have had 4 or 5 week break between Atlanta and now heading into Charlotte. I know we've got a couple storylines coming in there. One, the track. You move in last year, it was at the Super Speedway. This year we're running at the dirt track, and I know talking with the teams and talking with the series, everybody's excited that this is going to be probably the best track all year long that Global Rallycross has put out there.
Oh, absolutely. Running at the dirt track is going to be one of the coolest things that we do all season. And we've had some incredible tracks so far this year. You know, what they did in Munich to turn what was at the beginning a bus station parking lot into a proper rallycross racetrack was incredible. You know, turning Bristol, of all places, into a rallycross track was great. But us going to the dirt track, us going back to Charlotte, where the season opened last year, is going to be huge. Just having it be one of the deciding races in the championship, I think everybody's excited about it.
Well, and, I know Charlotte, we're going to have another debut. I know, Global Rallycross truly is a manufacturer series. Chevrolet coming into the series with the Sonic. What should we expect out of the Chevrolet program?
That's right. I talked to driver Pat Morrow a little bit last week, and we'll have an interview up on the GRC website with him pretty soon. And it's kind of been the worst kept secret in ways, because a lot of people have been going after information on the program. You know, I know Pat's excited, and we're excited to have Pat back, because he's been, he was one of the best privateer drivers last season, if not the best. And, anytime that you get a guy like that who really gets an opportunity to come in with a brand new car, it's going to be really fun to watch. And to us, one of the coolest things about it is now we'll have Chevy alongside Ford and Dodge. I mean, to have the big three automakers, that's not something that NASCAR can say. That's not something that IndyCar can say, but we're able to say that. And to us, I think that's incredibly important. It's great to have manufacturers coming on board, Mini debuting this year, Volkswagen debuting this year, and now with the Chevrolet. And, I wish the best of luck to Pat. I know how hard he's worked to get that car together, and I think it's going to be a fan favorite when it goes out there.
Yeah, and I mean, going forward to next year, technically we could have a full field of Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Subaru, Volkswagen, Mini. I mean, I guess, depending on what Reese does, we've got the Hyundais there. I mean, this is just, to me, it's insane to have this amount of manufacturer involvement in one race series. I can't name any series in the world with that kind of involvement.
Well, that's really the goal, isn't it? I mean, there are just so many cars that really lend themselves to the Global Rallycross platform. So many compact and subcompact cars, and so many manufacturers that could really put a great program together. You mentioned Reese. Last year, Reese's Hyundais were some of the most competitive cars in the field. And, Reese and Stefan Verdier in those cars last year. And you even saw that at X Games, where Reese hadn't driven the car in months and months and comes out and finishes fourth. There are just so many opportunities in our series for manufacturers, for drivers, to really put a great program together and really start challenging for victories and podiums.
Well, and let's talk. The one thing we haven't touched on yet is the lights. The debuted pretty much here in the U.S. In New Hampshire. I mean, how do you see the light series? I mean, obviously we've had one kid that Yanni Weeman, who's been just an animal this year. But, I mean, the racing and the kids and the talent level that are coming out of that series, to me, is just crazy. I mean, that race at Atlanta, you were there. I was there. There wasn't one person that wasn't on their feet in the entire, at the entire racetrack, for that race between Mitchell DeYoung and was it Sebastian Ericsson, I believe?
Yeah, Sebastian Ericsson. What's funny is Yanni is making it really difficult for me to do my job and try to, come up with new interviews for the winter, because I'm talking to the same guy after every race. I guess it's the same way with Toppy, but, a lot of people have said, especially after the Atlanta race, that the lights racing has been some of the best racing, from us that they've watched all year. And that's really a compliment to these guys and a testament to just how great of drivers they're becoming so quickly. You mentioned Mitchell, who's really starting to get it together. Sebastian has been fast right out of the gate. Everybody's been chasing Yanni, but, you know, there are a lot of guys who are talented enough to really, you know, really compete with him. Yanni's just got that advantage of having worked with Marcus Granholm, and, you know, if you've seen GRC races with Marcus in them, you know that Marcus is just in a league of his own sometimes.
Yeah, he's, you know, he's one of the best drivers on the planet. I mean, you know, I don't care what you're talking about, what form of motorsport, but yeah, I mean, you know, Light Series, it's just crazy. I mean, to me, it's a testament to the cars that Andreas, you know, designed and built. I mean, you know, on a lot of these tracks, they're pulling, you know, I don't want to say similar times, but times that are comparable to some of the supercars.
You know, they actually are pretty close, and I think that's by design. I mean, when Andreas built these cars, the idea was to have a development platform that's going to create the next rallycross superstar. And to have cars that are going to post similar lap times, you know, and handle similarly, you know, and compete similarly against one another in traffic, you know, that's what's really important. I have no doubt that the first guy who comes out of the Light Series and gets into a supercar is going to be right in his element right away, you know, top five driver immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we wind this deal down, you know, obviously GRC Charlotte, and then, you know, we can even talk about SEMA. What do you think fans should expect out of last two rounds of the Global Rallycross Series this year?
Well, with Toppy having taken so many of the wins, there are a lot of guys, a lot of big names that are going to be fighting, you know, just to get at least one victory this year. I mean, Tanner Faust, Brian Deegan, Ken Block, Travis Pastrana have all not yet made it to the top of the box this year. And, you know, with two races left, at least two of those guys are going to go without a win this year. So you know that, you know, big names like that are going to be pushing with absolutely everything that they've got to go for a victory. It's going to create some incredible intense racing, and we'll see if, you know, we can knock off Toppy from the top of the box. I think he's almost mathematically got the championship locked up. He's got a 20-point lead in the Sylvania Silver Star ZXE Cup, which, you know, is an aggregation of the four races at the SMI tracks that we've done this year, and Toppy can lock that up at Charlotte, and there's mathematically a very good chance that he can lock up the championship as well. But a lot of guys are going to be pushing to try and make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, combination of that and, you know, in the dirt track at Charlotte ought to make for probably one of the most exciting races of the year here in about a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah, you said it, Jim. I don't think there's any better way to put it than that.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking time to come on air, Chris. And Global Rallycross Championship, you know, where can people get more information?
Global-rallycross.com. We have links for tickets there. We have all the information, you know, results, driver bios, profiles, everything you need. Our Twitter handle is @GlobalRallyX. Same with Instagram. You know, we'll be tweeting out ticket links throughout the day and throughout the next couple of weeks. So if people want to go see the show at Charlotte, they're going to have the tickets to be able to do that. You know, we're going to be promoting the heck out of this race for the next 2 weeks. So I hope everybody's ready, and I hope everybody's excited, and definitely as excited as we are.
Yep, and those that can't make it live, live on ABC on television, correct?
Yep, live on ABC. We've got the TV times on the website. You know, I'm incredibly excited about the fact that we're back on broadcast television. We were on earlier in the year for X Games Munich, and just the amount of viewership that we get to the product is intense. You know, it's great that so many people have an opportunity to watch our racing series, because we think we've got one of the best products there is out there right now.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, the on-track action sells itself. And like I tell everybody, you know, if you haven't seen a GRC start in person, supercar start, you're missing probably, you know, one of the most exciting 30 seconds of motorsports.
Absolutely. Just if you're standing behind it, wear earplugs. I made that mistake earlier this year, and my hearing hasn't been the same.
Nice. Well, take it easy, buddy, and we'll see you at Charlotte in about 2 weeks.
All right. Thanks for having me call in, Jim.
All right. Thanks, Chris. That was Chris Leone with Global Rallycross. We've got the home stretch coming up. We've got Charlotte at the dirt track, which I got to tell you, I'm so excited about the dirt track. I mean, you know, we're talking about just one. I mean, Charlotte Motor Speedway. Everything associated with it is so iconic. I mean, the NHRA, they got the four wide. I mean, the NASCAR track. I mean, it's really the home of NASCAR. And then, you know, you've got the dirt track, one of the best dirt tracks in the entire country there. And Global Rallycross is going there and going to be putting on an event. And it's just, I think, from what I understand, I mean, they've been working on it already. I mean, weeks and weeks in advance. And it's just going to be an amazing track live on ABC. It's really going to showcase what this series is become. And if you can't be there live, you're definitely going to want to tune in on TV. Watch it live. Set your DVRs. I don't care. It's going to be some great racing. And like Chris said, I mean, you got, Deegan, Block, these guys, Tanner, that haven't taken a win yet this year. And, they're all going to be battling for one of these, last couple of victories. They don't want to go winless this year. So it's going to make for some exciting racing here at Charlotte Sunday after this coming one. So here in, anytime we're going to have Denise McMahon with the Bilstein Southwest Rally Series. She's going to be calling in, telling us a little bit about the Extreme Rally in Kingman, Arizona coming up. It's a hybrid event. It's off-road meets rally. They're kind of merging, joining forces, going to be running an awesome event there. It's going to have some stage miles, going to have some short course action. It's going to be pretty darn cool, I've got to say. I'm excited to hear more about that event and everything they've got going. They've got some great racing happening in the Southwest region. It's just, they've got we've had a lot of their race winners on air and just doing a tremendous job with that series. So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have Denise McMahon on air.
KC Highlights is the worldwide leader in off-road and auxiliary lighting since 1970. KC Highlights is all about quality. Their lights are built tough to last. Inside and out, KC has never accepted anything less than the highest quality materials and workmanship for their products. This drive for perfection has produced some of the most revolutionary products in the industry today, such as the Full Carbon Fiber HID KC Pod, a first of its kind. For more information on the full line of KC Highlights products, like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter, and visit them on the web at www.kchighlights.com. Global Rallycross is back in action September 22nd for Round 8 from the Dirt Track at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Ken Block, Tanner Faust, Travis Pastrana, Brian Deegan, and Series Points leader Tomas Häkkinen will be wheel-to-wheel battling for the $20,000 Sylvania Silver Star CXE Cup. Tickets start at just $10 for kids and $25 for adults and can be purchased online through charlottemotorspeedway.com. Be sure to tune in to ABC at 4:30 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, September 22nd to catch all the action live. And be sure to catch the official GRC pre-show online as Jim Beaver and Kate Osborne bring you GRC Live Radio with some of the biggest drivers in the sport. Global Rallycross, where motorsports and action sports collide. Visit global-rallycross.com for more information.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. We just got done with a couple of big interviews. We had Ryan Turk Tire Slaying Extraordinaire on air earlier talking Formula Drift. We just had Chris Leone from the Global Rallycross Championship calling in. We're going to have Courtney McCrae, a Poison Spider, calling in about 10 minutes. But right now, hello, Denise.
Yeah, hi.
Hey,
yeah.
How you doing, Denise?
All just fine.
Well, tell us a little bit. You know, obviously, you guys, you know, have a lot of stage rally events throughout the year, but we've got a big one coming up this weekend, the Extreme Rally in Kingman, Arizona. Give us a lowdown on you know, what the Extreme Rally is all about.
Well, it's a concept that I came up with about several years ago, and I've been talking to J.B. Nyday from Rally America about what I was up to. And I always know in the Southwest, the off-road teams out there, that there's so many events out there with the off-road teams between Best in the Desert and Baja and all that. And I always wondered if we could get some of those off-road teams to come on over to rallying and give it a try. But it's kind of difficult because in rallying, stage rallying, you have to transit on regular public roads, and that's kind of difficult for off-road teams to do because they're not licensed and registered. Some are, but not all. And so this is a good way to bring both of the worlds together because we are sister motorsports. And so I came up with it different. It's kind of rallycross, but it's not. It is stage format rallying, but it's not all that either. So that's where the extreme comes in at. It's different. And so it's part stage format rallying and part rallycross. And you put them together and bringing in some off-road teams. That's where the extreme comes in at. It's different.
Well, and this, you know, to my knowledge, it's the first time anything like this has ever been done, correct?
Absolutely. I don't think that I've never have seen it happen before, and I'm very excited because the first year of this was last year at Speed World, and we had about 8 teams that came because some of the rallies are kind of wondering, how is this going to come out as? And every single one of those teams were so excited and had so much fun. And whenever I teamed up with Tim Jones from Arizona Short Course Association, all those off-road teams came running in and just watching us. And they couldn't believe we could take those jumps that that normally Lucas Oil short course guys take. And it was they were saying, can we put a trophy truck beside a Subaru? Nah, I don't think so. But I'm sure it would have been a great run. But a lot of people wanted to see if that could happen. But it turned out well, and it's unfortunate Speed World had to move on. And but we found this other place called Arizona Route 66 Motorsport Park, which they approached me. And they wanted to put on a rally, and they said, we could put it together where you will have an exciting course. And so I said, that's great. You know, I was finding a place for this event to go to, and I am so excited to be at this brand-new motorsport park. Please do come out to Kingman. I know that some of the off-road teams that live in Kingman are coming out to watch. They are very excited to see this rally at this brand new facility. It's very large. It's 5 miles wide and 4 miles in width. And so they've got a lot of room to do a lot of different types of motorsports there. And we're excited about it. But we do have one off-road team that did enter. They're from Jeep Speed, and they're going for the Rookie of the Year. And that's Dustin Hoffman and Brian Day is going to drive, but Dustin is going to co-drive. And I'm so excited to have him there. I want him to go back and say something to the off-road world. Come on over and try it out.
Yeah, for sure. So what else is happening with the Bilstein Southwest Rally Series?
We actually have one more event after this. It's C9 Rally, and based out of Eugene, It's unfortunate that we probably won't be able to have it in Gene. It's going to be probably back at this Kingman facility. BLM is becoming, they've got a new sheriff in town, and so they are very short staffed, so they asked us if we could try again for next year. So we had to find a place to take this event to, and so it looks like we're going to bring this one over to Kingman just for this year. But that will be our last event of the year for Rally America's Regional Southwest Championship and for us. And I know that several people are looking forward to entering that event as well. So, and that will be it for us, and that will be in November.
Well, and what's on the horizon for 2014 with the series?
We're going to have some exciting, a new event that I was approached at by actually a city in Utah, and actually by a national driver who contacted me and said, Denise, that this city wants to put on a rally, and it's in a state that does not have a rally, and like I said, it's in Utah, and so they said, come on, we want a rally, and we're motorsport enthusiasts. We want something here. And I said, absolutely, we'll put something together for 2014, and we'll call it Rally Utah. And I'm looking forward to that. That'll probably be in September. For Arizona Extreme, it will be moving to June. And to help out, because we will have a major announcement to make at Lucas Oil Expo with the Jeep Speed meeting, which is unofficial, but it looks like we're going to partner with Jeep Speed and to have a points event with them at the event. So we're looking at it to expand, to grow. And I'm looking forward to that. Now, for the Met 400, I don't know yet. I know that Matt is looking for roads at the moment, so that's a little bit up in the air. I hope that we can put something together for the Met 400 for that to pull off-road and rallying together. And but basically Desert Storm will be in April, and we have Mendocino in July. And I think we're going to keep growing and growing and growing, and looking forward to the sponsors enjoying to come along with us. We've got a lot going on next year with Lucas Oil and Wolf LED Systems and Race Tech, who's always been with us since I started, and Bill Steen as well, and so I'm very excited. And also at this event at Arizona Extreme, Tim O'Neill is giving out a $2,200 gift certificate to the first off-road team to win. They get to go there for a two-day course for free, and for someone who gets a drawing in the rally classes will get to go to the Tim O'Neill Rally School for free for a two-day course, and it's so you're looking at a value of over $4,000 there to give out. So, and we got all kinds of things going out at that. So I'm glad for our sponsors that we have on board that really appreciates grassroots motorsports as we are.
Nice. Now, where can people go online to find more information out on the Extreme Rally and the Southwest Rally Series in general?
You could go on Facebook for Arizona Extreme Short Course Rally, and our event website is www.arizonaextremerally.com.
All right. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on air and give us an update on this awesome event. We're definitely gonna have the winner on air at some point, and looking forward to it, Denise.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and thanks for so much for having me on. I do appreciate your show, and believe me, a lot of rallyists are really enjoying listening to you. It's less NASCAR, more dirt, more sports, and we love it.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, and you have a great great rest of your day.
Thank you, and rally on.
Sounds good. That was Denise McMahon with the Bilstein Southwest Rally Series. We've got the Extreme Rally in Kingman, Arizona coming up this weekend. And, yeah, if you're in the Arizona, anywhere in Arizona, I would say it's worth the drive to Kingman to check this out. I mean, it's going to be rally cars, off-road cars, short course, stage rally. Like she said, it's a blend of everything. It's like a hybrid type event, rally, rally cross, off-road, short course, all merged into one. I think it should be really, really cool. And mentioning cool, I mean, Kingman, the elevation there, it's going to be a little bit better weather than it would be in, say, Phoenix or Yuma or anywhere in the desert area in Arizona. So, yeah, those of you in even Vegas, it's a short drive from Vegas to Kingman. It's going to be worth your drive this weekend, Saturday. And, yeah, ArizonaExtremeRally.com for more information. So, yeah, man, it's been definitely game on, gas on this show from the beginning. We had Ryan Turk on air. We had Chris Leone from the Global Rallycross Championship. We've got Denise McMahon from the Bilstein Southwest Rally Series that just gave us an update on Arizona Extreme Rally. And up next, we've got Courtney McCray from Poison Spider Customs going to be on air to tell us what's happening on the rocks. And a little bit about the search for the next Spider Girl. So that should be pretty exciting. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have Courtney McCray on air.
Looking to have some screen printing, embroidery, or design work done? Intense Tees has you covered. Intense Tees provides the highest quality and detail for custom screen printing and embroidery services for corporations, schools, race teams, and all organizations alike. Complete line creation, including designing of an entire corporate identity, product line creation, support promotions, product packaging, exciting banners, polos, tees, sweatshirts, caps, and vinyl decals. Intense Tees is the official apparel provider for the Down and Dirty Off-Road Show. Find out more on the web at www.intensetees.com. That's www.intensetees.com.
Are you ready for the revolution, the Ford revolution? Well, Parker Motor Company is bringing it to you. We're bringing you the 411-horsepower Ford Raptor, the new turbocharged 252-horsepower Ford Focus ST, and the twin-turbo 365-horsepower Ford Taurus Show. Now, that's not your grandma's Taurus. Join us at Parker Motor Company, where we like to talk cars, treat you right, and show you why we are a 9-time Ford President's Award winner. Parker Motor Company, your hometown Ford and Lincoln dealer.
Imagine shredding the water on your wakeboard without a boat. Announcing Wakeboard Island at Bluewater Resort and Casino, where boarders can rip it up skate park style using a two-tower cable system providing a pull. At Wakeboard Island, there's no boats, no exhaust fumes, and inside the Bluewater Marina Complex, so no boat traffic for all skill levels from smooth water beginners to jumps and rails for the hardcore. Wakeboard Island, the coolest ride on the Parker Strip, adjacent to the River's Edge Cantina and coming soon to Bluewater Resort and Casino on the Colorado River in Parker, Arizona.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, fueled by Speed Energy Drink. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, and we've had a heck of a lot of interviews today. I love it. I love talking to people. I love doing interviews, and it's better than just hearing me myself ramble on all along. So we got Courtney McCray from Poison Spider calling in here in just a few minutes. And should be pretty exciting to find out what's happening in the world of Poison Spider and the world of the rocks. Maybe we're going to have to get some kind of segment going with Courtney regularly called, like, On the Rocks with Courtney McCray or something like that. She goes to more events throughout the year than I think I do. So, she's always got a vast knowledge of everything that's going on. Makes it kind of interesting. How's everything going, Courtney?
Things are going pretty good. How are things over there?
Pretty good. I was just saying, you know, throughout the year that I do, it's almost like we need to have your own, like, branded segment on air or something, like On the Rocks with Courtney McCray or something like that.
That would be mighty awesome.
So, yeah, I guess, what should I say, welcome to Man Candy Monday? Is that what we're calling the show now?
Well, every time you throw me on, I seem to have some man candy on the air, too. So that's what I'm now deeming this show.
Nice. So what's happening in your world? Obviously, you know, I know, you know, Poison Spider, we'll get to everything. But the big one, we've got the search for the next Spider Girl. It's become like a pretty big deal every fall to me.
Yeah, and it's actually, I mean, it amazes me how big of a deal it's become, too. We started this contest, I believe, in 2011. We had just a few girls come out, and it was kind of just a bunch of Jeep girls that wanted Jeep parts, obviously, so they entered the contest, and this year it just seems like we have 30-something hot model chicks that it's just crazy to me that these girls want to represent Poison Spider, but it's also an honor that we have such gorgeous females in the industry that want to be a part of it. So the way this contest works is the girls have about a week to submit their photos, which that time frame is already up. But we have voting going on our Poison Spider Facebook page until Thursday of this week. And like I said, we have over 35 people in this contest, and our hopes are that the public can help us narrow it down to the top 10 so that we don't have such a hard time picking. So I am requesting from everybody that's listening to get over to our Facebook page and go vote for whoever they think is the hottest, the smartest Jeep girl, the best off-road chick, whatever they think is appropriate. But I'd love to get some input from everybody out there.
Yeah, a little help. I mean, I, you know, this morning I went and kind of clicked over there and I went, holy, you know, it's just crazy the amount of, you know, the amount of girls. And you know, I'm glad I'm not the one having to narrow it down.
Yeah, it gets to be difficult. And like I said, it's not like there's any that are just out of this world outstanding. They are all awesome looking women. So it's going to be pretty tough, I'm thinking.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, and what's a Spider Girl entail? I mean, you know, you're at so many events, you guys, you know, off-road events, Jeep events. It's just, you know, it really is a pretty big deal being able to travel with you guys and do the things that you guys do. I mean, it's some pretty amazing places you get to go.
Right. And what this contest specifically states is the winner gets to come out to the Off-Road Expo and help us represent out there. But we've been lucky in the past with every girl that's won in the past has ultimately become a part of the Poison Spider family and not just come to the expo, but they become so close to us that we invite them back for more events. And so there's potential to either just come out to the expo and be done, or there's potential to come out to the expo, become super close and a part of the family and go all over the country with us. So I'm hoping that's what we'll find. Like you said, it's a blast. We get to travel all over. We've been everywhere from California to Florida to New York. So there's all sorts of fun adventures with the title of Spider Girl.
Well, I gotta ask you on the Poison Spider side of things. I know, Venom 1, your guys' King of the Hammers racer, is officially sold, correct?
Yes, it sold a few months ago. The buyer requested that we do one more complete rebuild of it, and they actually just finished it a few weeks ago, and it is leaving today. Actually, right before I got on the phone with you, they were taking it out for a few little speed laps down the street just to make sure that all the kinks were worked out, but I'm pretty sure that it's probably gone by the time I get off the phone with you, actually. So pretty heartbreaking, but at the same time, there's one door closes and another opens. So we're currently in the middle of building a race Jeep again, like we did a few years ago. But this year, our Jeep is basically the same car we had last year, except for with a full body on it. Has the same motor, same drivetrain, same transmission, everything. Even has better shock travel than the last vehicle had. But like I said, it's just going to be a full-body Jeep, so trying to cram that through some of the canyons out in Johnson Valley might be a little tough, but our hopes are just to finish so that we can say we were the first Jeep to ever finish King of the Hammers.
Yeah, that would be cool. I mean, you know, I think with the innovation in Venom 1, I mean, you know, I think, you know, it took a lot of people by storm because you weren't, you know, you didn't go to compete in the Unlimited class, but here you guys were, you know, actually being competitive in that class.
Right. Yeah, that car was originally built to be a part of the modified class that Ultra 4 came up with a few years ago. But unfortunately for us, we thought that was going to be the best place for us to be because the modified class is going to be mostly Jeep. So we figured, hey, that's our market. That's where a lot of people are actually going to be running our product. But for whatever reason, that class just didn't really seem to take off. It doesn't get the media coverage that the Unlimited class gets, and it just doesn't really seem to have any fanfare like the Unlimited class has. So even though you can't really run any of our products in the Ultra 4 class, it still just seems like that's going to be the best place for us to invest our time and effort. So that's our goal.
Yeah, so on your personal side, what kind of events you've been to this summer? I know, you know, you get to travel, you know, quite a bit. I think, you know, see you at X Games and, you know, a few other places.
Yeah, gosh, my life is such a whirlwind. I can't even remember what I did yesterday. I'm trying to flip back to my calendar. Yeah, we had a few Poison Spider-specific events that I went to. And like you said, X Games, that's one of my favorite things to go to every year. But honestly, I've been so overwhelmed with school that I haven't really got to do as much as I'm used to, but I'm hoping by this fall we have a crazy event schedule, so I'll be out and about much more than I have been, luckily.
Yeah, definitely. So is there a little bit of you know, a tear in Big Lar's eyes today when Venom 1's going down the road?
It's actually pretty solemn here amongst the entire race team. I had a little one-on-one with each of the guys this morning, and every single one of them looks like they're about to cry, but everyone here is on the same page, though. One thing is over, but we're starting a new chapter, so there will always be bigger and better things coming out of Poison Spider, so we just have to look at the positive side of things.
Yeah, very, I'm sure whatever you guys, you know, come up with, it's going to be top-notch. So,
right.
I mean, let's get back to talking about the search for the next Spider Girl. You know, your Facebook page, and how long is voting lasting?
Okay, our Facebook page is just facebook.com/poisonspider, but spider is spelled with a Y rather than an I. I know we had to be tricky. And the voting goes until Thursday at noon, so this Thursday. So there's, what, 3-4 more days? You can actually vote every day. So if you see someone that just stands out to you that you really want to win, you're more than welcome to come back every day and vote for them. And you can actually vote for as many girls as you want, so you're not limited to just choosing one. There's 35-plus people, and if you like 10 of them, go ahead and vote for all of them. If you like all of them, go ahead and vote for all of them. So it's kind of cool that you can choose as many as you want, but I'm sure that's kind of frustrating for some of the girls. But it is what it is, and we have to deal with the technology that we're given to run these contests. So
awesome, and it's pretty pretty good prize package that the winner gets, isn't it? I was looking, and it's like $1,000 in Poison Spider product and a bunch of other stuff, right?
Right, yeah. So that obviously is a benefit to any of the girls in the contest that have Jeeps. I know there's a few that don't, so I don't know exactly what their plans are for the prize package, but obviously beyond that, there's the travel expenses and all that are covered, and then, like you said, the opportunity to go more than just to the Off-Road Expo. So there's some pretty big potential there for the winner.
Nice. So where can people on the web find out more about you and Poison Spider?
We have poisonspider.com, poisonspider.com, or facebook.com/poisonspider. Usually we post pretty much everything that's going on in our spider world on our Facebook page. We recently got an Instagram, so we're working on that, and we have a few more guys in the marketing department, so we can hopefully get that growing more. So anyone on Instagram, be sure to look up Poison Spider on there as well.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on air and bring us in the loop on the search for the next Spider Girl and everything that's happening at Poison Spider.
And I appreciate you having me on, and hopefully we can get back together soon to talk some more rocks.
Absolutely. Anytime, door's always open. Thanks a lot, Courtney.
Awesome. Thanks, Jim.
All right.
Bye.
It was Courtney McCray, Poison Spider Customs. She's a busy girl normally. She's she didn't really want to talk a whole lot, but, you know, she's finishing up school, and we're not talking like college degree. I believe it's a master's degree. She's finishing up in business, very involved with Poison Spider Customs there. Her dad, Larry McCray, a.k.a. Big Lars, he's the founder of Poison Spider Customs, one of the biggest custom Jeep builders in the country. Just some amazing products that come out of there. Obviously, they've been really instrumental in King of the Hammers and you know, Jeep culture, and they go to a lot of events. I mean, Easter Jeep Safari, they're down in Florida, all these Jeep events, Moab, you name it. You know, they're all over the place and really involved with the Off-Road Expo. So if you're heading out to the Off-Road Expo here in about a month, definitely want to swing by, say hi to Courtney, and the rest of Spider Girls, get your picture taken. It should be good, and definitely go visit the Poison Spider Facebook page until Thursday. Vote on the next Spider Girl, And, you know, let's see who it is. Maybe we can get the new Spider-Girl on air at some point. Should be pretty exciting. But, yeah, we've, you know, obviously it's you know, been a big show today with four interviews. Ryan Turk, Chris Leone with Global Rallycross, Denise McMahon, and now Courtney from Poison Spider. You know, over the weekend, not a whole lot of racing action. We did have the Snore Night Race and some Lucas Oil Regionals hitting while we were, you know, while the NFL was also kicking off. So, it was, you know, not a busy weekend, but I got to tell you, heading into this next weekend, we've got a ton of stuff on the schedule. But, yeah, Snore More, they teamed up for a night race, the KC Highlights Midnight Special. It's become one of the biggest, longest-running Snore races, you know, and probably sponsor relationships, in off-road desert racing, I would say. It was held out in Lucerne Valley. They had 150 racers take the start, 73-mile course. The overall winner was Rick Romans. Congratulations goes out to Rick. Results up, you know, up in probably next week's show because I haven't got them all from Snore yet. But it looks like the Freemans took home the Class 10 win, and it was just a great race. It looks like the Class 1400 field had 27 entries. Jonathan Libby took home that win with 27 entries, the largest class in the Snore Night Race. We also had some Lucas Oil Regional action, and once again, I haven't got the results from the Lucas Oil Regionals, but I got to tell you, the Regionals, they put on a great championship. It's just a great series for people to get a taste of short course racing. And that happened over the weekend as well. But something that came to my attention, and there's this, there's another kind of an, I don't want to say an off-road show, but it's not like mine, but it's called the 4x4 Podcast. They're really active on Twitter. They put out a 4x4 podcast about weekly. Do a great job, very well produced. And I've got to know the people that run it a little bit through social media. And they promote this show, and I usually try and retweet them and stuff like that. But they brought to my attention, they don't cover desert racing and short course. They're more the adventure type of off-road, you know, going, you know, in your Jeep over rocks and stuff like that. Well, those of you familiar with that, have probably heard of the Camel Trophy. Happens, happens overseas every year, and it's probably the most brutal off-road race in the world. Takes place in jungles. I mean, you know, these guys are going through jungles and through, you know, nasty mud crossings. It's just absolutely insane what these guys are going through. To me, it's probably one of the hardest off-road races in the world to win. Pull up Camel Trophy online on YouTube. There's videos of it. You're going to see what I'm talking about. I mean, it's just insane. We're not talking speed racing like, say, Dakar or the Baja 1000. This is more just get your car through it type of racing. Vermont, they've got this new event in Vermont called the Vermont Overland Challenge. It's been brought to my attention. So they sent me this link. I went and looked, and it's insane. It's like the Camel Trophy overseas, but it's here in the United States. And what these guys are doing is running across the entire state of Vermont. But it's just insane. I mean, talk about rocks and forests and stream crossings and mud and water. And I didn't even know that this event was happening in the United States. And here it's been going on for a few years. So, they bring me into the loop on this thing, and I start watching these, and I'm like, where have I been to not know about this Vermont Overland Challenge? It's insane, and it's not like you've got trophy trucks running. You've got modified Jeeps and Unimogs and Land Rovers and stuff with the winches, but it's tough. I mean, I can tell you right now, looking at it, my trophy truck couldn't make it through that course. It's just absolutely insane. So, all of you, pull up Vermont Overland Challenge in Google or go to, you know, YouTube and punch it in. There's lots of videos on it, but it's insane. And for that matter, check out the Camel Trophy. I'm going to try and find out more information on this Vermont Overland Challenge, and I can guarantee you next year the Down and Dirty Radio Show will be covering it because it's just an absolutely insane event. You know, along with that, I probably should be covering the Camel Trophy because it's absolutely brutal, and I've known about that race for a long time. It's just probably the most brutal endurance race in all of motorsports anywhere in the world, the Camel Trophy. You know, it's just something that, you know, there's so many events that happen in the United States. I mean, you've got mud racing and you've got rock crawling and this and that. And, you know, and sometimes these things slip through the cracks and I don't hear about it. And thanks to the 4x4 podcast, these guys bring it to my attention, the Vermont Overland Challenge. I mean, professionally produced event up there in the Northeast, and definitely something I want to find out more information on. So, the Vermont Overland Challenge. Check it out. Nitro Circus, their United States Tour, you know, they released the dates a while back. Tickets went on sale. They just added four more dates to the Nitro Circus United States Tour. You're going to want to check that out. Go to nitrocircus.com, find out all the info. Maybe we can get Jolene or one of, you know, one of the guys from Nitro Circus on air, or maybe a few of them. That would be kind of cool, Street Bike Tommy, huh? And get them on to talk about maybe the Nitro Circus United States Tour and all things Nitro. I think it'd be cool. Maybe we'll try and line up Jolene Van Butte and Street Bike Tommy to be on air at the same time. I think that would be fun. So maybe that's something that I will that I'll work on. And yeah, now we've got the chat board. Our good friend Charlie Bravo. He's, the Camel Trophy used to be identical Land Rovers. You are correct. And I remember seeing this thing as I'm a kid in these off-road magazines. Just an insane off-road event. We're going to get more information on this Vermont Overland Challenge, though. Also, Bryce Menzies, Driving Dirty. We talked about that a week or two ago. His new online reality series by Red Bull. Bryce Menzies, Driving Dirty, the second episode has dropped. It's out. Check out racedesert.com. It's right there on the front page to watch it. Very cool. Follows Bryce around. Off-road desert racing, short course, rallycross, all through it all. You're going to want to check out Driving Dirty with Bryce Menzies. Very, very cool. Also want to make mention, next week we are going to have Brian Deegan on air and some kind of Global Rallycross Lights driver. But Brian Deegan, the following weekend, he's pulling double duty. He's going to be running Friday night and Saturday night at the Lucas Oil Race in Las Vegas. He's grabbing a plane Saturday after it's done, flying across country to Charlotte, North Carolina, where I'll be. And then he's going to run in the Global Rallycross race on Sunday. Talk about a packed weekend for Brian Deegan. We got Bryce Menzies doing the exact same thing. He's going to be in the Red Bull Dodge Dart on Sunday, and then he's going to be Friday, Saturday at the Lucas Oil race. So Bryce and Brian going to have an action-packed weekend. And then we got Travis Pastrana. He's running the Nationwide race on Saturday, and then he's going to Global Rallycross race on Sunday. So Travis is going to have a busy weekend. And speaking of Travis, got to give a big shout-out to him and Lindsay. Had their little baby girl, 199 and a half, in the past week, and just a beautiful, beautiful kid. They got some pictures up online. So big shout-out goes out to Travis and Lindsay on the new bundle of joy in their family. You know, just wish them all the best. And, you know, getting to know Travis, you know, in the past 6 months through GRC and the radio show, just really a stand-up guy and just one of those people that just a genuinely nice, good person. Wishing him all the best, you know, with the new baby and Lindsay as well. Looking forward to seeing Travis back in action in Global Rallycross as well as Bryce this coming weekend. Speaking of Brian Deegan, next week we gonna have a good giveaway. Maybe gonna bring back some off-road trivia, some down and dirty trivia. I don't know if it'll be Global Rallycross, motocross related, what it'll be. But I recently signed on with Free Gun Underwear, new partner of mine, and we're gonna be doing some cool giveaways online for some Free Gun Underwear and swag. That's right, the Down and Dirty Radio Show is gonna be giving out underwear. Very cool stuff by Free Gun. But you're going to want to be tuning in because we're going to start doing some giveaways online for this new relationship, and it should be lots and lots of fun. And I got to give a big shout-out to Ford Motor Company, the Arizona Ford dealers coming on. They are now the official auto manufacturer of the Down and Dirty Radio Show. So the Big Blue Oval, Ford Motor Company, it's going to be all Mustangs, Focus STs, and Ford F-150s and Raptors for the next 12 months because they are the new official auto manufacturer of the Down and Dirty Radio Show. So very happy to have Ford and Free Gun on air. It's been a whirlwind couple of weeks for me. And like I said, this weekend we've got some big events coming up. We got Formula Drift in Texas, two rounds left in the championship, and we got a deadlock for the Formula D title. Michael Essa, Chris Forsberg, Daigo Sato, 3 points separating, three or five, I can't remember now, separating the top three in the Formula D standings. It's going to be a shootout at Texas, and then at Irwindale, you're going to want to follow along online, formulad.com. They live stream and do a great job of it. Then we've got World Rally Championship Australia coming up this weekend. We've got Kurt LeDuc's off-road swap meet in Southern California. So those of you that are off-road fans and looking for some parts, you're going to want to go check out Kurt LeDuc's Off-Road Swap Meet. All the details, racedesert.com. But it's a cool event. You're going to get to see lots of trophy truck and short course drivers and get some deals on some good used off-road parts there at Kurt LeDuc's Off-Road Swap Meet. And like I said, you're going to want to check out racedesert.com for all the information on that. We've got the Arizona Extreme Rally in Kingman, Arizona coming up this weekend. Check it out, arizonaextremerally.com for more information. We've got Global Rallycross in Charlotte in 2 weeks. I'll be there announcing, and I'll also be doing another round of GRC live radio with myself and my co-host Kate Osborne. So you're going to want to find out more about that. We're going to be talking about it a lot next week on the Down and Dirty Radio Show. We've got Lucas Oil from Las Vegas, the night race in 2 weeks, Friday and Saturday night. Coming up in 2 weeks from Las Vegas, should be epic battle as we close in on that Lucas Oil championship. We've got the Sand Sports Super Show coming up in 2 weeks as well. And we've got Stadium Super Trucks, three rounds of Stadium Super Trucks coming up from the Sand Sports Super Show. So they're tying in with that. So, it's just insane. Lots of stuff happening here in the next couple of weeks. The Down and Dirty Radio Show will be there covering it all. And a big shout-out goes out to R.J. Anderson. He was up at Haydays in Minnesota with Polaris, clinched the Terracross Championship this year. And we're going to be have lots of information coming out of Haydays as Polaris was there. And we're ramping up snowcross season. Obviously, we're going to try and get Levi Lavallee back on air at some point. I talked to him over the summer, and we're going to try and get somehow in the next month a big preview for snowcross coming up. Maybe get Levi Lavallee, try and get Tucker Hibbert, maybe somebody from the ISOC on air, because this winter we're going to be hitting the snowcross championship hard. And it's lots of stuff happening. Give me a follow at JimBeaver15 on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook.com/DownAndDirtyShow for more information. Big thanks to Blue Water Resort and Casino. Check them out at BlueWaterFun.com. They've got Casino Cage Rage coming up. They've always got some epic cage fights. Sell out every single time. You're going to want to get your tickets, BlueWaterFun.com, for more information. We've also got a wakeboard contest coming up in 2 weeks, same weekend as GRC Charlotte and Lucas Oil. But if you're in the Arizona area, you're going to want to check out the cable comp at Wakeboard Island there at the Blue Water Resort and Casino. We've got Speed Energy launching their new line of Speed Style swag at speedenergy.com. And check out stadiumsupertrucks.com for their line of apparel. We've got UPR.com. They've got their garage sale going on and blowout on Alpine Stars and Sparco gear. Got to thank Racetech USA, racetechusa-usa.com. Some of the safest seats in the world. You're going to want to check them out if you're in the market for off-road, touring car, rally seating, drag racing series seating. They've got it all. And next week, we're going to have a special in-depth product preview and company spotlight on Racetech. You're going to want to tune in for that. Got to give a big shout-out to Ryan Turk for coming on air, and good luck in Texas there, buddy. Big shout-out to Chris Leone from the Global Rallycross Championship, Denise McMahon from the Bilstein Southwest Rally Cup, and Courtney McRae from Poison Spider Customs. Check out Poison Spider Customs. Search for the new Spider Girl, facebook.com/poisonspider. Got to thank all of you for tuning in, making us the number one off-road and action motorsports radio show in the world. And don't forget, we'll be back next week when Brian Deegan is live on air. Thanks for tuning in, and drink lots of speed energy. See you next week.